WQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 4:06, beautiful sunny, 87 degrees right now. Just loving the almost 90 degree temperature.
It is not. It is about 74 at this point.
I just showed you the gauge.
Yeah, your gauge is wrong. I'm telling you, I just came through the parking lot. I just parked my truck. I saw what the temperature was.
What is it?
Oh, wait. You always give this false weather information anyway.
No, don't blame the media. No.
I'm blaming you.
Actually, apparently I had pulled up Kihei, Maui.
Oh, okay.
What 87 in Maui right now.
Okay, 87, huh? It's colder in Maui, huh?
No, it's 87 in Maui. It's 73 here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But I like the 87.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
You're the type of guy that likes... Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, good afternoon. This is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show for answering any of your questions and giving you something to think about in your yard, you know, what you can do, why you should do it, and how you can get it done. So if you have a question, 673-4464 will get you right in here. You can ask your question, and I will give you the answer, and it may be one you even like. So with that... Let's say you just bought a brand new home with no landscaping, just bare dirt, bare ground everywhere, and a few weeds popping up. So what do you do? What do you do now? Well, if you have any experience with shrubs or trees, you can begin to visualize the finished product. Now, visualizing the finished product is just like daydreaming, sitting on your back deck and looking at your blank yard and saying, well, what do I do here? I mean, should I put some trees or some lawn or some ground cover or shrubs or, you know, just kind of go through the list. And it's good to have a pad and a pencil so you can write your ideas down so you don't forget them. And you can always add to your list or cross something out that you don't like. But that's kind of what you got to do to get started. And if you have no ideas, of course, then there are landscape contractors and people who have years of experience. Like I only had 50 years of experience before I retired, but I'm still doing consultations and plans and things like that, which don't require me to plant huge trees anymore, which is I'm really grateful for that. But, you know, here you got your bare ground. You know, do I want a lawn? Well, to do a lawn, I have to do A, B, C, D, E, and F. Well, and if I'm no trees in this whole blank yard, I better get some trees in here, especially over on the western face where the hotter sun, from like 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon likes to shine right in my back patio. And I need a little bit of shade back there. And, grass, just lawn itself will really cool the yard by a few degrees. I don't know officially how many degrees it will cool it down, but it does cool it. There is a cooling effect with green grass, especially if it's well tended, well watered, and growing vigorously. And, all these things, any shrub, any tree, anything like that will cool the ground. And if the ground is cool, your house is cool, your patio is cool, and it's more more pleasant place to sit in the evening or in the early afternoon just to have that kind of thing protecting you from the 90 degree weather or 104 degree weather, whatever we seem to experience from time to time. But, and like I say, if you have any experience with shrubs or trees, you got to begin to visualize the finished product. That's the main game. Just visualize. You say, well, I'd like it to look like this, or I'd like it to look like that, or I like the house four streets down that has all the trees and all the grass, and it really looks like an oasis. Okay, how do I get started on that? And then, if you have children, do they need a safe place to play? Do they need a safe play area? You don't want to build them something that they're going to you know, tear up your yard with, but they need a spot. Or maybe you need a spot for the dog to hang out. Maybe a little fenced-in yard to the dog can hang out for a while until you take him out and go through the neighborhood. He can bark at things and you know, disturb everybody. And then you put him back in his pen and he's happy. But these are important aspects for the yard. And, you know, like I say, is a lawn part of the overall plan? If it is, it's going to have a cooling effect on your yard. So how much time, here's the thing, how much time are you willing to dedicate to the maintenance of whatever you get done, whether it's done by a professional, a landscape professional, or your cousin comes over and helps you do all this stuff. But you don't want to create something that's going to overwhelm you with maintenance on a daily basis, no matter what it is. And all the planning is critical, very critical for a good and usable landscape. And when I say good, that means pretty, that means relaxing, that means picturesque and usable at the same time. So it's not something that you have to just kind of tiptoe around. You can go out there and use the thing. So, and if you're a novice, get some landscape books for ideas. Hire a landscape contractor for a consultation or a master plan. That will get you started in the right direction, at least for a consultation. Consultations aren't, you know, they're not all that expensive, $100 to $150. But then if you want a master plan with everything detailed and named and placed in, on a blueprinted plan, yeah, they run about $400 or $500, depending on the size of your yard, the square footage and all that. But there are many ways to get results that you want or need or you think you need. So, like I say, do you need some shade? Are you in full sun? Shade is critical for, like, many shrubs. You know, you want some rhodies, you want some azaleas, you want something that's going to, you know, some Daphne maybe. Be careful in your plant selection. Don't get something that needs half a day shade in the afternoon and stick it in a full sun location, because it's not going to last past June 14th or something like that when the weather starts cooking up a pretty good deal. So if you're going to do the work yourself, go slow and plan carefully. You don't have to buy $1,000 worth of shrubs on one day, get them all unloaded at your house, and then try to figure out where in the heck they're all going to go. You know, too many plants is a full-time job. You know, select shrubs or trees that are hardy and don't require a full-time landscape contractor. And start out, you don't have to, you know, let's say you have an average-sized yard. You don't have to get 40 what's-his-names just to stick around and be green and look halfway decent. Get 10 and place them carefully. And don't plant them until you've placed them around in such a way that you go, hey, that looks good. I like the way that looks. Because if they're still in a pot on top of the ground, it's easy to pick them up and move them 10 feet or move them 20 feet over into another location. And make sure, like I say, that they're hardy and they're not going to require some diligent work on a daily basis. And, you know, many plants in Oregon that nurseries sell are fairly hardy. Most of the folks in the nursery business around here are pretty smart about getting plants that will withstand the winter, withstand the hot summer days, those kinds of things. So when you're planting the shrubs or trees, leave a lot of space between them. Like I say, don't crowd them up. Just give them some space. You can always add something later if you think the space that you left was too large. You can always put something smaller in there just to kind of to break up the vastness of your landscape. But too many plants is not low maintenance. Too many plants is a lot of work. Too many plants takes a lot of watering, a lot of fertilizing and all that kind of stuff. So always keep in mind that you can add more if you think it's needed. It's all that. And if you're doing the work yourself, that's It's like I say, just start with a few things and try that out. See how that goes. Plant, let's say you've got a back fence and you want to, and it's a wooden fence, but it's only 6 feet high, but you want a little bit more privacy. Well, you're going to get something that's going to grow, say, 7 or 8 feet to give you a little bit more privacy. That's good. And just lay them out along your fence, and you'll say, okay, I need to push them farther apart, or I need to get them closer together. And one big mistake that a lot of folks who have never done this kind of work before, they put things, too many things in, too close together. And initially they go, oh, that looks great. They're planted, but they're only 6 feet apart, say, on a photinia, which is a very large growing shrub, kind of a screening plant, looks good. But that 6 feet apart or 5 feet apart is way too close, because within 3 years, you're going to be pruning every other month just to keep them, you know, where they're supposed to be. You don't want to let them go wild and crazy. But, you know, just keep all that in mind. These guys are going to grow. and you want to watch them grow and pay attention to how quickly they grow. The first year after you've planted them, they're going to grow a little bit. But then after that first year, they're fully rooted in and going into their second spring in your yard. And then all of a sudden, boy, and you know, the first year they only grew, say, 6-8 inches. The second year they grew 1.5 feet. What do I do now? Well, read up on the plant and make sure that you keep it pruned and keep it in shape to the shape that you want and desire. Don't let it go and continue its rapid growth until you go, ah, it's a jungle. I need to do something, but I don't know what to do. So then that's when people call me. I go and give them advice. Always keep in mind they grow. Always keep that in mind. Too many plants, too close together, can turn into a full-time cleanup project, and you're not enjoying your yard. You're a slave to your yard. So when buying plants, go to a real nursery that has plants, that's in the business, that's been there a lot of years, and ask lots of questions about the rate of growth, the ultimate size, how to prune them, for shape and size, how to plant them, what kind of soil do they like, how often should I water them, how often should I fertilize them. Get that information from the people that actually raise them and grow them and make them look good. And many of my landscape jobs over the past 50 years were cleanup projects of old, mature landscapes, plants that were too close to structures or too close to other plants or too close to a fence or a driveway, that kind of thing. And I had to explain to my client that heavy pruning or removing plants was part of that project, and it would look quite different when we were done. And they said, go for it. Let's get this under control. And most folks accepted that, but a few were shocked by the end result. They didn't know, wow, that was 7 feet tall. Now it's only 3.5 feet tall. I wonder why. Well, it's because it's the wrong plant in the wrong place, and it grew too fast and too much, and you had too many. So that's kind of answers all the questions right there in a nutshell. But, you know, you plant those things, and then after a year, you know, the yard is quite nice, and I always stop by my old landscaping jobs after a year or so to see if they liked their yard, and most of them did. But they always had a few questions about, well, how do I fertilize that, or what type of fertilizer do I use? And I'd write it down for them, tell them where to get it, go to the co-op or go here, and they have that kind of thing. And just go light on the fertilization. Don't think two handfuls is a good dose for the small plant, because it'll be dead within 3 weeks, because it can't handle all that nitrogen and everything else all dumped in there at one time. But with adequate space between shrubs, you have less disease, less bug problems. When they're all crowded together like that, you know, the bugs like that because they're protected, they're hidden, and they can eat away at your leaves, your stems, and there's maybe some root problems too because of bugs and because of the plants are too close together. And with, like I say, with the adequate space between, less disease. I mean, we have a climate that invites different kinds of diseases in, and because it's so wet in the winter, not this last winter, of course, but you have more air circulation when you space these guys out, which is good. The bugs don't really appreciate that. And finally, in time, the yard looks a lot better, and it's easier to maintain. Once you've been through it one time, you've had that experience. You go, well, okay, now I got it. If I could do this. And you don't have to do it all the same day or the same week, because different plants grow at different rates, and some of them are early pushers, and some of them are late, and some of the larger ones you may have to wait till fall to prune them the way you think you want them, and then there's other individuals you can prune year round simply because you want to snip the new growth. It doesn't kill the plant, doesn't set it back, just makes it fuller, bushier, more blooms, that kind of thing. And when you do that, of course, you'll have more air circulation, which is good. And finally, in time, the yard looks a lot better, and it's a whole lot easier to maintain. But you got to go through that process. So we'll be back in a minute. Oh.
We will. 422, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The afternoon report coming up at 5. Douglas County's news team, 74 degrees now in the Umpqua Valley.
What did I tell you?
What's that?
I said it was 74 degrees out there, and you told me it was 87.
But I didn't specifically indicate where that might be taking place.
It's right outside your door, buddy. I was right through it. So anyway, if you got a question about any of this, 673-4464, have your question ready, and we'll give you a good answer. And don't leave me, Kyle, because I can't push the buttons. There's too many buttons in here. I do good with shrubs, trees, tractors, lawnmowers, tillers, trenchers, dump trucks, all that kind of stuff. But all these buttons, they blow my mind, so I let him do that. But anyway, getting started in your landscape, you're doing it yourself. You say, I can do this. I can see other places that look pretty good. I think I'll try a little bit of that, or I'll try a little bit of this. And then you go nursery shopping, and you look around, and you see what's available, and it'll blow your mind, because you go, like when people used to come into Wintergreen, I mean, we had, a good solid 2 acres of just plant materials, and then our field, we had six acres of field that we had stuff growing out that weren't quite ready for sale yet, and they'd be confused. I didn't expect to see this many plants. There's too many choices. There's this, there's that. And so I'd have to talk them through, or whoever was waiting on them would have to talk them through, and, you know, how big is your yard? How big is your space? Do you like color? Do you like blooms? Do you like evergreen? Do you care if it's evergreen and drops its leaves? You know, lots of different questions just to get the homeowner thinking as to, is that what I want? And then we had a demonstration yard behind our shop area, and it was also, when we owned it, we used it as a yard for meetings. The Chamber of Commerce could have their meetings there. There were weddings that were done there. That's what we primarily built it for weddings and things like that. but it got to be very usable. And so consequently, I could walk around a potential client and walk them through the garden and say, this is this and this is that. And they could actually see what a more mature rhododendron looked like, or a more mature Japanese maple looked like. And we had a pond in there with a waterfall and rocks and some koi in there. So, you know, you can do all this. If your yard is big enough, you can do all this. Even if you have a small yard, you can still do it, because everything's smaller scale. And that way that gives the client ideas and say, oh, yeah, no, okay, I can do this or I can do that. So that's the kind of thing. The planning process and landscaping your yard is extremely important, because once you've gone through all that work and planted all these plants, or put in a lawn, or put in a sprinkler system, or anything like that, you sure don't want to sit back in 3 years and say, oh my gosh, there's too many plants here, there's too much of this, or there's too much of that, and have to pull, you know, 30% or 50% of the stuff out and put it somewhere else, or you know, just to create some space for the other things to grow. So, like I say, after you're in a ground, you'll see the growth, and you can determine, well, I did it right. And at that point, you can determine, like I say, to add more or not, or pull some out. And just always keep in mind, these things are going to grow. Too many plants too close together can turn into a full-time cleanup project every spring or fall. And so when you're buying plants, like I said earlier, go to a real nursery, ask lots of questions about the rate of growth, the ultimate size, how to prune them, how to fertilize them, you know, how to water them, all get all the information. I used to give all that information to clients that would come in, and they would be so relieved when they would make a significant purchase of plants, maybe $300 or $400 worth of plant materials. We'd load it up, and the last thing they said, really thank you for all the information we gave you, because we didn't know this and that, and you made sense, and we're going to follow your directions. And so I know they had success when they finally got everything in the ground and say, okay, right. So many of my landscape jobs over the past 50 years were cleanup projects of old mature landscapes, in other words, overgrown brush piles. Plants, like I say, that were too close to structures or too close to other plants, and I had to explain to my clients that heavy pruning or removing the plants was part of that project. Well, they couldn't imagine that, and I told them it's going to look quite different when we were done. And, you know, most folks accepted that, but a few were, like I said earlier, shocked by the end result. But I told them, hey, they'll grow back, and don't let them grow back like they were. Let them grow back, you know, 6 inches, 8 inches, and then prune them lightly and keep them shaped. It's a lot less work, and it's a lot neater, and a lot less cleanup to do. So some of them actually did what I suggested and what I wrote down. But like I say, after you've had your plants in the yard planted for a year, and they've grown for a year, and you know, the yard is quite nice, and it's always good. And I always, like I said, stop by after I gave them instructions on what they wanted to do, and asked them, hey, do you like the way the yard looks? And oh yeah, now we understand what you were telling us a year ago. Now we understand how to take care of these things properly. Even though I gave them all that information up front when we did the job or when we sold them the plants, but sometimes seeing is believing. you have to see, well, that plant won't grow 3 feet. Well, some of them did. And so consequently, they had to see what they were up against. And like I say, with adequate space between shrubs, you have less disease, less bugs, you know, less water that you have to pour on all that stuff. That's another thing. Water being the price that it is nowadays, let's say you have a sprinkler system on your plants, and you've got, you know, way too many plants in there, and you got to run your sprinkler system a long time. That's a lot of gallons and a lot of dollars every month that you're going to have to fork out just to keep your yard alive. And unfortunately, I would say in maybe 50% of the cases, people that have sprinkler systems often overwater their yard, and consequently plants die or look bad or host a swampy area where certain kinds of bugs like to live and eat plants. So, you know, when you have less stuff, you got more air circulation, which is absolutely good. And I can't stress air circulation enough. Finally, in time, like I say, the yard looks a lot better, and it's easier to maintain. You don't want to be a slave to your yard. Or maybe if you have a landscape guy come in, you know, once a week or twice a month or something like that, or twice a year, just to prune things and get them shaped up for the next growing season. That's a good idea. It's going to cost you a few bucks, but you know what? In the long term, it's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your yard, and you'll enjoy your yard better. And you can learn a few things as well. How did they prune those, and what you know, I always try to instruct my clients in, well, I want you to see how I'm going to do this particular shrub, and take them out there and begin to prune it as I'm pruning it, explaining how it's going to grow back, what it's going to look like, and how much easier it will be to take care of a year from now should they have to go out and prune it and shape it. And but at least they have an idea of, oh yeah, I see what the guy's talking about. So
yeah, but aren't there some clients where you just say, don't you dare touch it, just make a phone call?
Yeah, there were a few of those, and they were glad to make the phone call because we did all the work.
Possibly apply to me.
Yeah, you were top of the list, Kyle.
I don't think I was quite there, but
no,
there's some things that when you explain what to do, and I look at that, and then 3 months later, I'm like,
What did he say?
Yeah, well, or it's, you know, it's higher up than I want to get or whatever like that.
Well, sure, sure. And that's understandable. But
you don't want me hanging off a roof.
Well, speaking of roofs, you got a tree in your backyard that pretty close to the house, and a lot of the branches hung over about 50% of your back roof.
As they are doing again.
Uh-huh. And we had to get up there on a ladder and get on your roof and prune some of the bad branches back so they wouldn't fall down and put a hole in your roof and get rain in your bedroom or something like that. So.
Which probably needs to be done again.
Yeah, probably does. Probably in another month or so when all the leaves fall off.
Well, or at this point, though, we don't really have to wait for those, do we?
Well, no, but it's a lot less messy if the leaves have already fallen off. It's it's easier to see the tree in its entirety and look at it. And you have to be able to picture the finished product before you even begin to prune.
Hmm.
You get that?
No.
Okay, I didn't think you did.
Why he is the expert, and then I'm the guy with the checkbook.
That's right, and that's why I like him.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 435 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You know, I said I was the guy with the checkbook. Somebody called during the break and said, checkbook what? Because it's all online. It's Venmo. It's all of that. So, but some of you knew what I meant by the word checkbook. But not everybody.
I knew.
Okay, well, yeah, you did because you're...
I'm a checkbook person.
Well, that makes sense because you're the commissioner of dirt.
That's right.
And back in the era of dirt, that's how we did things.
So. Yes, and I still do it, and I'm not going to change. How's that?
But have you ever Venmo'd?
Who?
Yeah. I knew that. Do you know what Venmo is?
No.
It's when you electronically transfer money to another person.
No, I have never done that.
Okay, well, it does require the use of the internet.
Well, I'm anti-computer, so care. Oh, anyway.
Oh, that's boy. Right. Here we go.
Yeah, I just like to write in the dirt and pick up sticks, okay? So if you have any questions other than, technology stuff, 673-4464 and ask your garden or yard question, and we can get you on the air. But don't do it now because Kyle's leaving the room, and I can't push the right buttons. I know that, so... I'm just a talker. But as I was talking, if in the last segments, if you are hiring a landscape designer or a landscape contractor because your yard is so overgrown or whatever, don't let them design something that, it looks good on paper, but, excuse me, but has too many plants. And like I say, they usually look too good for 2 or 3 years, but no time at all. You have a jungle, and when there are too many, too close together, there may not be enough water or nutrition in the soil to sustain the healthy growth of these plants. Like anything, each plant requires a certain amount of water and a certain amount of nutrition to to have good, healthy growth. Well, if you put way too many in and don't fertilize them in a short time, like within a year or two, you can see the net result of the neglect of not watering properly or fertilizing properly or giving them any fertilizer at all. But in that case, only the strongest are going to survive, and then it's going to be out of whack and look bad. So you want to make sure whoever designs a landscape for you gives you all this information that I have been imparting to you for the last how many years I've been on this radio program. And they're not you want only good, strong, healthy plants, you know. Those plants that are not, like I say, getting sufficient nutrition and water, they look bad. And insects and disease can become established in your landscape and spread through your entire yard. It's the balance of water, it's the balance of nutrition and air circulation that they need for good health. It's real simple. So the bottom line is not to overplant your yard for the best results and plant good plant health. There has to, like I say, be a balance of water, nutrition, air circulation for a healthy landscape. So if you have an old crowded landscape, thin out some of those plants, prune those that you leave, and you'll see a dramatic improvement in your yard the following spring. And, I'm doing consultations now rather than actually installing landscapes now that I'm supposedly retired, but it is enjoyable to me to do that because you have a lot of good conversation with the homeowner and get to know what they like and what they want their overall look in their yard to be, whether it's going to be a yard where they have three kids that are 6, 7, and 8 or something like that that play in the yard, that play football or whatever, or a nice quiet space where they can retreat to in the evening and just have a conversation, a cup of coffee, read the paper, whatever. I always want to get the most information from the client that I possibly can so that whatever I design for them, whatever I tell them about, they're at the end result is they're happy with it. They're content and they like the finished product. So anyway, those are just some of the highlights of what you have to be aware of if you're doing your own work, which I basically stressed throughout the first part of the show. But with this great June weather we're having now, and it is great. It's great. I love it. Don't hesitate to buy any plants you might like and get them planted. It's not 100 degrees out there. It's 74, 76, and if you water them correctly and put them in, they're not even going to know that they've been transplanted. And I don't think, you know, it's just in my experience of having worked outdoors for 50 years in Douglas County, I don't think we're going to have a big hot spell this summer. I could be wrong, but I just feel that it's going to be a mild summer. And with a mild summer, we're going to have better growth, better looking shrubs, better looking trees, and hopefully less bugs. But you never know. You never know. The first summer I spent in Roseburg, way back in 1965, I was 17 years old, I spent it, I got hired as a lifeguard at the Roseburg Swimming Pool, which I don't know if it's still in business or not, but we opened like the first part of June. And it rained most of June. I mean, every day it rained. And I'm thinking, and we get maybe one or two preteens in to swim, and there would be three lifeguards watching three kids swim in the shallow end of the pool. And I thought, man, what is it? Does it ever get warm here? Does the sun ever shine? But I haven't seen a summer like that since 1965. But anyway, my point is, even in hot weather, you can plant successfully. I mean, there's just a few extra steps you need to do. And I haven't seen it rain like that in the summer in many, many, many years. So, but dig your plant holes first and then fill the hole with water to see how it drains. Most of Douglas County is clay, unless you've got 2 feet of topsoil and you live down on the river somewhere. But most of Douglas County is clay. It's hard. It's hard, and water does not readily pass through. It'll pass through eventually, but it takes a long time because clay particles are the smallest soil particles around, and so they're very tight together. And let's say you dig a hole and you're going to put a tree in, and you need a 2 foot deep by 3 foot wide hole, and before you put the tree in, before you put the good planting soil in, fill that hole with water and see how long it takes to drain. That'll give you a great idea on how much you're going to have to water that tree or shrub, whatever you might be doing, throughout the summer. If it takes 3 days to drain, you know, hey, I'm not going to water it very often. And if I do, let's say if I water it, you know, every 10 days, I'm only going to give it a gallon. And that will water the plant, get it growing, it'll be healthy. But if I give it, you know, 5 gallons of water, it's going to rot the roots, and the $50 tree or the $100 tree is going to die because all the roots rotted off because they were drowned in the high water. So when you're digging those holes, you can, let's say, and like I say, most of Douglas County has got clay in it. And you dig this hole, you fill it with water, and if it drains within, 15 minutes, hey, you're good to go. You got good drainage. If it hasn't drained in 3 hours, you know, hey, I got to do something else. I have to mound it up and make sure I got lots of good soil and only water it maybe once a week or maybe once every 10 days in the summer only. And once it roots in, gets started, and develops, I don't have to water it at all next year. The rains will take care of it for me, or I might have to water it twice in August or once in September, that kind of thing. But that's very, very important to know what your soil is like and how quickly it'll drain. And if you've got bad soil, like I say, heavy clay isn't bad per se, but it's bad in drainage because, like I said, the clay particles are so small and tight that the water doesn't pass through readily. So you have to compensate for that. You have to say, okay, what do I got to do to make this happen? And you just get her and you fix it up and maybe you mound the tree or you mound the shrubs up about 6 inches in the center so they're not going to be in a pool of water and they're going to grow. And in time, they'll be strong enough that they can take that kind of water because the root system would be spread out. So dig your plant holes first. Then, like I say, fill them with water to see how it drains. Is it fast? Is it slow? If slow, hey, it'll give you an idea how much to water. like maybe once a week or once a month. And we have, like I say, the soil is mostly clay in Douglas County and doesn't drain quickly. So if you know your soil, you'll have success in your planting. Just keep in mind that clay soil drains very slowly, and I'm stressing this, too much water kills roots and kills plants. So you go out and spend $500 or $1,000 on plants, and don't do this investigative soil work and soil observation. You're going to lose $1,000 or $500 or whatever it is because you're going to water it too much, or it's just not draining, and it's going to be detrimental to the plant system. So you learn how to water that first year, and after that, you're good to go. And most likely, after they've been in the ground a year, your watering is going to be a lot less because they're well rooted in at that time. And the worst the worse your drainage is, the less you have to water in the future. And it's going to save you money on your water bill. How's that?
That would be nice.
Yeah. You probably spend $1,000 a week on yours.
No, but it's more than I would like it to be.
Are we taking a break or what?
We are. We're back with more in a moment. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 450 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
At 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 450, 374 in Roseburg, 87 in Maui. Which would you pick?
I would pick Maui. I'm sorry. I like palm trees and high surf. But anyway, I'm trying to explain to y'all, I'm listening on the radio, that, hey, this is how you take care of your plants and don't kill them by overwatering and dig the holes right, et cetera, et cetera. I know it might sound pretty mundane to a lot of folks, but there's a lot of folks that need to hear the mundane and think about what they're doing in their yards. And if you have somebody else come to do the work for you, make sure that you have this kind of knowledge base so that you can watch them do the first bit and see that they're doing it properly. And if they're not doing it properly, then you can instruct them in the way you should actually do it. And I want the holes bigger. Don't try to dig a small hole and jam a plant in there because it's not going to work. It's not going to do its thing. So anyway, it's just good information to have. I try to make it as simple as possible, and it's all usable, good information. So stick it in your computer or wherever, and that way you'll have it. But there are many plants out there that need very little watering to begin with. And if you're planting like junipers or evergreen trees, like pines or firs or cedars or something like that, they're not going to need a lot. They're not going to need water after the first year. The first year, you're going to water them maybe twice a month, give them a good shot, and then they've grown sufficient root system so that the second year you might water them once a month in June, July, and August, maybe September, and after that you never have to water these dudes again. They're on their own. They're doing a good thing. And one of the sure signs of overwater is that on trees or shrubs that have actual leaves, the leaves will start to curl up on the ends, and then as they curl up, they turn brown, and the tree or the shrub will die. And that's the indication of overwater. It might be a bug, but 9 times out of 10, it's overwater. And sometimes if you stop watering, leave it alone, the tree or shrub can recover and grow again. I've seen it happen. I've seen people do it, and as I've given them a consultation or something like that and say, well, this is how you can revive it. Just ignore it, and you'll be amazed. Now, lawns, of course, are always different as far as their water needs go. Most lawns, on average, can do well on 2 or 3 deep waterings per week in the middle of summer. But if the soil is primarily a clay base, it will retain moisture for, maybe 4 or 5 days. So if you're watering every day, you're watering your lawn way too much and spending way too much money on the water bill. However, if you mix a lot of organic material, and when I say organic material, I'm talking about, you know, fine grind bark mulch, peat moss, those kinds of things, and till it into the top 4 to 6 inches of your new lawn where it's going to be, you're going to have much better success and a much better, healthier, robust lawn, and you also have just overall better drainage, for crying out loud, and the lawn's going to look good. You're not going to have to mess with it, because it's going to retain that moisture for 4 or 5 days, except maybe, like I say, when August rolls around and it's 92 degrees for 6 days in a row, you might have to pump a little extra in there. But after that breaks, like we're in September now, and it's 74, 70.
Actually, we're in October.
What? Oh, already? Huh. 70, still 74 degrees, 76, something like that.
73.
Hey, it's not needing a lot of water now, so you're okay. But, and again, if the soil is a primarily a clay base, it's going to retain the moisture for 4 or 5 days. But if you mix organic material in your soil base, the drainage is a lot faster. So your watering days and times are a little longer. But you'll get the sense and the feel of this after you've done this for about a month or two and seen what the results were. But never water your lawn every day. Just don't do it. It doesn't need it, and you're wasting water. It's a waste of money, water, and all that kind of stuff, and it stunts the root growth. Always water early in the morning or late in the evening. Middle of the day watering is a waste because the evaporation process is high on the list, and 50, 60, 70% of that water, if you're watering at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, is just being evaporated. It's not even touching the grass.
Yet so many people do it.
I know. And I've told hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, don't water in the middle of the day. So anyway, but, hopefully we'll get some rain here pretty quick and you can turn off your sprinkler systems and then the lawn can take a rest for a while on the shrubs. But the next job you're going to have is leaf removal. So if you have some big shade trees in your yard, you're going to have leaf removal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're going to be all over the place. And if you don't take them off the lawn, you don't take them off the shrubs, they're going to be, kind of ugly when they finally get off, especially
kind of moldy.
Moldy, all that kind of stuff.
And see, the last couple of years, it has been either Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's when I've raked the leaves the one time of the fall / early winter. So you're saying that's probably I should be writing another check for somebody to do that too.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, boy.
But
I actually don't have a lot of leaves yet. I'm a little surprised.
Well, it's early, and the weather's been fairly moderate, so a little windy out there today. But, most of the leaves, you look around and you drive through the neighborhoods and stuff like that, most of the leaves still are somewhat green.
All right, very good.
All right, we're done for the day, aren't we?
We are.
Okay, thanks for listening. If you've got any questions, call me next week. I'll give you the answers.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. We have to go.
Bye.
All right. Mike Winters, The Lawn and Garden Show, the podcast up shortly at 541radio.com. Every Wednesday at 4, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, where the Afternoon Report is next.